when we could meet together, and I'm praying that we'll be able to meet together soon. But until we do, I'm glad you're joining us online. We're excited about it. We believe the anointing is here. So let's just pray and get right into the Word. Thank you, John. Father, we just thank you and praise you and honor you tonight that your Word is life. Your Word is everything that we have need of, Father. In your Word are all of our answers. Lord, we delight in your Word, Father. We thank you that as we hide your Word in our hearts, Lord, you give us the ability to sin, not sin against you. Lord, we just want to give you honor and praise tonight. So, Lord, as people are watching at home or later on, we just ask that you bless them, be with them. Glory to God. Thank you again for a good night in your Word, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I've said this over and over again, but the reality is that if we're in the Word of God, we're in the presence of God. Because Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God, it says in John chapter 1. And so when we get into the Word, when we begin to read the Word of God and you begin to look at it, you got to say, now listen, I'm right in the presence of God. I don't know if you believe that, but the more you believe that, I believe the more revelation that you'll get out of it, the more honor that you'll give to it, and you'll get more results from it. So in if you look in Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, I want to talk to you about following Jesus tonight. Come on, how many want to be followers of Jesus? You know that there's a difference between being a disciple and just being a regular believer. In John chapter 8, he said this, he said to those who believed, he said, if you want to truly be my disciples, then you have to be in my word. And so that's what we're doing tonight, but we want to look at that in a different manner, a different concept. So if you're in Luke chapter 14, let's start in verse 25. It says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them. Now most of us, if we're in ministry, and we say, well, man, we got a great crowd, and this is a big crowd, probably thousands of people that are following. We go, man, this is awesome. Let's figure out what to say in order to keep that crowd and maybe to get more crowd. But Jesus wasn't like that at all. In fact, he had a completely different approach to it. So let's read on. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Good news, huh? You want to follow me? You got to give everything up. You got to give everything up. Now, I'm not meaning that I believe that Jesus wants you to never see your family again, that never wants you to have people around you, but he wants your heart, and he wants to be first place in your heart. He doesn't want second place. He doesn't want third place. He doesn't want, when you get around to it, just come on by and we'll talk. He wants you to be in a position where you're putting him first. Let's go on to what he says. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So you might wonder, what's my cross? Well, I think your cross is wanting to do your will instead of his will. Because his will always rub you the wrong way. What I mean by that is that it's going to cost you something to do his will. Doing his will sometimes might cost you friends, might cost you family, might cost you jobs. I remember years ago there was a man who had a bar and a restaurant, and you know, he served the main profit from that restaurant was the alcohol sales. But he decided that and God dealt with him about this. He said, listen, I want you to stop selling alcohol in your restaurant. And he said, but Lord, if I do that, I'll lose my restaurant. And sure enough, he did that out of obedience to the Lord, and he lost his restaurant. But God blessed him in the end. But the bottom line is it doesn't matter whether we prosper by it or whether it hurts us. When we know God's will, if we're going to pick up our cross and follow him and truly be his disciple, then we have to say, Lord, your will and not mine. I want to be in a position where I'm hearing your voice so that I can do what you want me to do. I can say what you want me to say. Let's go on and see if this gets any better. He said, for which of you interested in building a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. In other words, sometimes I think we say and give out invitations and lead people to Jesus, as we call it, and we don't really fully explain to them what this entails. Because what we're really saying to them is that, listen, right from this moment that you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you have to get out of the driver's seat and let him be the driver for the rest of your life. You've got to be in a position where you're going to say, Lord, I'm giving you complete control of my life. And if that means that I need to do something that I don't want to do, I'm going to do it anyway. If that means I have to stop doing something that you don't like, then I'm going to stop doing it no matter what it costs me. And again, you know, if you're around people, and maybe before you got, you know, you came to Jesus, before you gave your heart to Jesus, you know, your language was just full of curse words and all of those kind of things, like mine was before I got saved. But if you come to Jesus and he says, listen, I don't want you using that or letting any foul or corrupt communication come out of your mouth, the minute you read that, you have to say, okay, I'm all in. I'm all in, because it doesn't matter what I want, it's what he wants. I want to live my life for him, picking up my crosses, doing his will, no matter the cost, no matter what it costs me. And I believe tonight, especially in the times that we're living in, it's so important that we become all in for Jesus. I'm not talking about being all in for your church. I'm not talking about being all in for, you know, a particular doctrine. But it's like, Lord, once I see you're in your word and you convict me by your spirit in my heart, then you're my master. And whatever it costs me to do that and give in to that, I'm going to give in to that. Many people I've heard of where God's dealt with them about selling all that they've had. And we're going to read a little story about that in a minute. And they literally have done that several times over, where they've given everything up, sold everything, and gave it into the ministry. See, when they did that, they had no promise or no evidence that they could recover from that. For instance, if you got, just because I like classic cars, maybe you got a beautiful classic car sitting in your driveway, and it's, you know, it's the pride of your life, man. You only bring it out on sunny days, only in the summertime when it's warm enough, but you take it out and you take the cover off and make sure that it's all waxed and it's just beautiful, and you're in your prayer closet and says, hey, listen, I want you to sell that and give the money to, you know, a church in Africa, and you go, you know, because that's my baby, Lord. Surely you've blessed me with this. Surely you want me to have this. And the reality is, he doesn't mind if you have it as long as you're willing to give it to him. And so at that point, you've got a choice to make. Are you going to pick up your cross and follow him? Or are you going to continue to go the way of your will instead of his will? I'm telling you, the cost for doing your will not be good. But the cost or the price or the advantage of doing his will be great. Glory to God. So then he goes on to say, or what king, verse 31, going to make war against another king does not sit down and first consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who's coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise it is, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciples. It says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its favor, how shall it be seasoned? If it's neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, and Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, said, you're lukewarm. I'd rather that you were either cold or hot. But if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, if you really want to be my disciples, you got to be all in. So when you're reading something in the Word, or God speaks to you about doing something in your life, it's like once you know that you know that you know that it's God, then your choice is already set because you've decided to do His will. You pick up your cross and you lay aside whatever that is, no matter what the ramifications are of it. You might be called into the ministry, but your family wants you to do something else. And you have to decide, Lord, is this you calling me into the ministry? Then I have to obey you, even if it makes my family upset, even if it costs me my family. And when we're talking, some of these people that Jesus was talking to right here, the minute that after the resurrection, when they said that Jesus is the Messiah, it cost them just that, because the Jews would not tolerate those who called themselves Christians because they were going against what their tradition had told them. And so following Jesus might cost you friends, it might cost you family, it might cost you jobs, it might cost you whatever, but are you really willing to pay that? Is that something you've decided that you're going to do? Is that, if it's not, then I want you to sit down and really consider what your belief is, and really consider if your belief is lined up with Scripture, if you're really in a position where you say, listen, I have made Jesus the Lord of my life, and that's it, that's the final decision. So every decision from this point going forward is going to be based on that decision. So Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. So if you ask me to sell something, I'll sell something. If you ask me to walk away from something, I'll walk away. If you ask me to go to my neighbor, I'll go to my neighbor. But it's the matter, picking up your cross is saying, Lord, not my will anymore, but I want your will. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, then you have to listen and do what I tell you to do. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, and we'll pick that up and look at what the story of the rich young ruler. And it'll be verse 22. He says this. Well, actually, let's go a little back just a little ways. In verse 18, he says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all of these things I've kept from my youth. He's going, I got it. I'm set. I'm ready. I've already done that. I'm already a good boy in the camp. But Jesus knew his heart. And let me tell you, Jesus knows our heart. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows exactly where we are. He knows whether we're actually following him or not. It's like we can put on the good Christian smile and we can say, boy, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this. And the reality is God knows the heart of the thing. He knows what we're doing 24/7. But let's go on. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, a lot of people would say, well, see, Jesus doesn't want you to have anything, but that's not the truth. That's not the reality. In fact, the Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. The Bible says that he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory, and that he's given us grace to have sufficiency in all things so that we can have enough to give to every good need. God is not for you having money or against you having money. What he is for the fact that he has you completely, and that money is not your God. Possessions are not your God. People are not your God. It's not getting in the way of you and your relationship with him. Now, I believe this with all my heart. The Bible doesn't really go in to say it, but I believe if this man would have done exactly what Jesus asked him to do, and who knows, he may have done it later. He may have come to himself and said, I hope so. I mean, I'm an optimistic guy. I believe in everybody. I believe in you. I believe that God wants to give you a chance after chance after chance. And maybe you're in a position where God told you to do something maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, and you just decided, no, I'm going to live my life my way. God is so merciful that if you'll just turn back to him and say, God, I ask you to forgive me. I have regret that. I ask you to forgive me. He'll give you a brand new start, and he'll allow you to go forward from this point if you'll follow him. So I'm believing that that's what happened for this rich young ruler. He might have went away sad now because he had many possessions, but later on he might have gone, you know what? Knowing that I'm right with God is more important than what I have at my house or what possessions that I have. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be his disciple. I want to follow him. So verse 23 says, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard when you have a lot of things not to put them in the priority that they need to be. In America, boy, we're just so spoiled. I mean, there's parts of the world that would just be in heaven, think they just had made it if they had a bicycle, not a brand new bicycle, but just a bicycle to drive. But you know, in my house right now, I have four vehicles. I have a motorcycle, I have a truck, and we have two cars. I'm amazing. That's just amazing. But they don't have me. If God asked me or directed me to give anything that I have away, I'd do it. I'd do it tomorrow. And have done it before. And so the it's not the fact that you have things that's the problem. What's the problem is when the things have you. Are you willing to lay them down for Jesus? See, again, part of the whole thing that we're talking about tonight is picking up your cross and following him. Are you really willing to let Jesus be the Lord of your life? Because that's the commitment that you made that day when you stood before him or stood in a church service, or maybe you're by yourself in a hotel room and said, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come in and be Lord of my life. I need you to take the reins. You know, the song says, Jesus, take the wheel. And we say that when things are bad, things get a little better, and say, okay, I got it. Thank you for that momentary little lapse where you needed to drive, but now I've got it. No, the reality is we never have it. And if Jesus is Lord of our lives, we say, Lord, you're in charge, you're in control. Whatever you're asking of me, whatever you want, I'm not going to be the rich young ruler and walk away because the things in my heart are more important than you are. It's so important that we come back to that place and just from time to time just take inventory and say, what is the most important thing in my life? What is it that I spend all of my time with? What is it that I wake up? What is it that I really enjoy? If you're not enjoying your relationship with God, if you're not enjoying spending time with him, talking to him, having him talk with you, I'm just telling you to reconsider maybe the priorities in your life and start to develop an attitude of a disciple and say, listen, I'm going to abide in his word. I'm going to continue to commune with him because I want to do what he wants me to do. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we've read these verses many times, I'm sure. But verse 7 says this, it says, but what things were gain to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. What things that were gained for me, these things I've counted as loss for Christ. In other words, they don't really matter when it's measured up with what my relationship is with Jesus. See, we call ourselves Christians, but are we really living as Christians? Or are we living for ourselves? Are we wanting God's best for us? Are we willing to lay ourselves down? In 1 John, the Apostle John talks about this, that the true love, real love, is when one man will lay down his life for another man. And Jesus did that for us. But then in return, when we accept what he's given to us, our objective is to be to lay our life down for him. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? I'll do whatever you want me to do. And again, I'm not talking about packing up and moving to Africa unless God told you to. But it's like, okay, Lord, you want me to go mow the neighbor's lawn? I'll do that. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'll do that. And begin to operate out of a obedient heart to say, Lord, I don't have a reputation. Because my reputation died. What I'm really concerned with in my life is your reputation and living my life in a way that gives you glory. See, that's what we're desiring. That's what we're asking for. Jesus, help me to pick up my cross and follow you. Jesus wants you to follow him in such a way that you're doing things in your life that are pleasing to him and that are beneficial for the kingdom of God. Sometimes they don't make sense to you. Sometimes it doesn't absolutely make sense. And I'm guaranteeing you, there will be times when you're following God that you're going to go, I really don't want to do this. I would rather not do this. Lord, please don't make me do this. But what I'm going to tell you, and we're going to get to in just a minute, is the benefit of doing what he wants you to do is always a payoff in the end. Always, 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 always. And look at, even if that payoff is not here on this earth, as he said back in Luke chapter 14, it said, you're storing up treasures in heaven. You're storing up treasures in heaven. Another place he said, store up treasures in heaven where rust and moth and all these things, you know, can't eat them away. All the attaboys that you get here are not going to be the attaboys that you want in heaven. So we need to seek him. We need to follow him. We need to go after him with all of our hearts. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, and these things you have heard from me and from many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. In other words, I'm not living my life for me. I'm living my life for Jesus. And it's not important that I get my way. It's important that the mission is what's accomplished. I never served in the military. I honored everyone who has. But I think of those people that are in a foxhole and they do such incredible, extraordinary things. And the reason is because they're laying their lives down for their country, but they're also laying their lives down for their battle buddies, the one who's next to them in the foxhole. They're not going to leave them behind. They're a team. They're going forward in Jesus' name. And so I want us to have that same kind of attitude that, God, I'm in your army. So yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's our deal. It costs to live, love, and walk with Jesus. It's going to cost you something to do it. It's going to cost you your will. It's going to cost you sometimes your pleasures. It's going to cost you, but it always, always, always pays off. I want to go back to Luke chapter 18 for a minute. And we're going to close in a few minutes. But Luke chapter 18. As I was preparing this today, it made me reflect on, okay, Lord, what's really important in my life and what is it that I really need to do and how and are you willing, am I willing to do it? It's, for instance, my family is very important to me. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my brothers and sisters. I especially love my grandkids. But if God called me to go someplace where I couldn't be around any of them for a long period of time, would I be willing to do it? That's not something that I would answer quickly. That's not something that I wouldn't spend much time in prayer about. But the reality is if I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to be willing to pick up my cross and to follow him. And so I ask you again, what is your relationship with God like? Now look at verse 28. Luke 18 and verse 28. Then Peter said to him, "We have left all and followed you." This is after the rich young ruler. Peter pops up and said, "Look at us. We've left all and we followed you." And Jesus didn't argue with him. He said to them, "Assuredly I say to you," and I like that "assuredly." In the King James, it's "verily, verily." But there's an emphasis here. I want to tell you for a truth that this thing that I'm about to say is an absolute truth in my life and in my kingdom. There is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. So listen, it doesn't cost us to pick up our cross. It pays for us to pick up our cross. And God says, even in this time, he will absolutely make up for everything that you give. When I first got into the ministry and was going to go to Bible school, I lived in a house, and it was a pretty nice house, had it built. And a friend of mine came over, and he knew what I was going to do. He knew I was going into the ministry. I was going to be a pastor and a preacher. And he looked around the house, and he said, "Well, you'll never live in anything this nice again." And I knew a little bit about Scripture. I said, "No, that's not true. That's not true." And I live in a beautiful home now, and God's blessed us with it. It's peaceful. Got acreage. It's wonderful. But God, it doesn't cost to do what God tells you. It will pay off. Now, I could care less about the house, really. I mean, I love it. I love that God's put us there. Every time I go home, I'm thankful for the house. But I'm telling you right now, I'd sell it tomorrow and go where God wanted me to go. Because I decided all of those years ago that I was going to follow Jesus. And like the old song said, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, yet I'll follow. So we need to be at the place where we're willing to follow Jesus and do what he wants us to do. So tonight, just ask yourself for a minute, Lord, is there something in my life that I've put over you and over my relationship with you? Is there some things that I've hung on to that, God, you want me to let go of? And Father, because I want to be 100% in. I want Jesus to say to me when I finally meet up with him in heaven, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So tonight, let's pray and let's just believe God for those things. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, as I stretch out my hand, I'm doing that by faith, Lord, that we're talking to people who need to hear from you. And Lord, I believe I'm talking to disciples. And in Jesus' name, Lord, that we're making a commitment to reassess our relationship with you. And I'm asking you, God, to just penetrate their hearts in Jesus' name. And Lord, for all of us who are concerned with pleasing you, God, that we completely sell out for you in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's any sick out there, Father, I ask you to touch them. I plead the blood of Jesus over every person that's listening to this message, and I just command any viruses to be gone. I command the blood to protect their homes, and Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, for your complete peace in Jesus' name. If you're out there today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just ask him. Just say, "Jesus, I need a Savior. I know that I've sinned, I've messed up, I'm not perfect, and in my heart I know there's something missing. So I'm going to dedicate my life to you. So Jesus, I'm calling out to you right now. One lady, this is how she prayed, and she's been saved for over 60 years now. She prayed, Lord, if you can do anything with this, go ahead. And God has. She's preached all over the world. So tonight, God loves you. I love you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.